Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Well, the big story today is pretty horrible, really. It's Ratko Mladic being removed from the war crime court after his outburst. The former Bosnian Serb commander is found guilty of genocide, some of the worst atrocities of the 1990s Bosnian War. He's 74 now. He shouts at the judges reading the verdict at the UN tribunal before he's removed. And then he was sentenced to life in prison. This is him.
Mr. Mladic, sit. Mr. Mladic, if you continue like this, we adjourn. Mr. Mladic, we adjourn. Curtains down. Mr. Mladic will be removed from the courtroom.
That's him being taken out. That's it. The butcher of Bosnia is sentenced to life imprisonment after being convicted of genocide, war crimes and crimes against humanity at the UN tribunal at The Hague. Zlata Filipovic was a child during the siege of Sarajevo, and her diary detailing her experiences, Zlata's diary, became an absolute sensation. Zlata joins me now. Zlata, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. How did you feel listening to that and hearing that man and his reaction to those sentences?
Well, yeah, I was kind of trying to listen in to what it is that he's saying, and he's just shouting back, obviously, because I could understand, shouting back, it's pure lies, it's lies, you're all lying. So he's obviously in no way acknowledging anything or accepting anything. And, you know, that kind of summarizes the kind of point of where he's at and where a lot of people hearing the verdict will still feel that he is the victim in this. And that's unfortunate for those who were truly his victims. I guess it's a day to find some satisfaction in, but obviously it'll never bring back the time that everybody lost and the lives that were lost.
He appears utterly just not willing to accept the stuff that he has done. And I appear he was making a slashing throat gesture at one of the mothers in court. He's unreconstructed, isn't he? Your experience, you were only 11 when the siege began.
Yes, I was, yeah.
Do you remember life before it?
Absolutely. And I think very much because, you know, life had changed so drastically in that one day when all our lives were cut into the period before the war and since the war began. I think even more I remember the days before. I remember being 9 and 10, maybe the way somebody who's lived in peaceful Ireland will, you know, you forget. So it's very important for me to remember the life before, the life during that war and the life we're all leading since.
And how quickly did it end?
The war, you mean? Or
no, the peaceful experience that one day you're living your normal childhood and the next.
It is really like a giant knife comes in and slices your life. You know, one day, you know, the Sunday I was writing my homework and thinking that I'll go to work and hand it in on a Monday. And I never went to school and I didn't go to school for nearly 2 years. And it's really sudden. You always think of it as something that happens to other people, and it'll never happen to you until it happens to you.
Right. And how bad was the experience? I feel for your parents. I have an 11-year-old myself at the moment. So I'm thinking if that kind of stuff started going on, it's an absolute nightmare. I'm wondering how you keep your children safe, how you feed them.
Yeah, I guess you lose that control as a parent because, you know, your purpose as a parent being to keep your child safe. And here is something that's coming from these hills surrounding our city, you know, the heaviest artillery, snipers, bombs just being thrown, sometimes up to 1,000 of them a day. And you live in circumstances that you never thought would any human would be able to live in. And, you know, this siege through which we lost electricity and water and gas and food and any way of in and out of the city, we were completely encircled and without any sense of feeling like anyone wanted to stop that. We're feeling entirely lost and alone and not having any idea when, if ever, this would stop.
Right. How bad did it get? I mean, you're obviously food. When parents can't feed their children, that can only be horrific for you. Do you remember days without food?
Absolutely. And, you know, some of those things I almost, you know, you forget, I guess, as a child. And, you know, my mother recently reminded me of, you know, me telling her that I was hungry and she had nothing to give me but a slice of moldy bread that then she had to scrape the mold off it and sort of pretend that it wasn't there and pass it on to me. I mean, we lived off humanitarian aid that was sent to us from the rest of the world through the United Nations, and it was rationed, and you know, you were getting maybe, you know, 200 grams of flour per family member every number of weeks. So I honestly don't know how we survived, because we had nothing.
Were you afraid at the time? I know we only watched pictures in this side of the world, and it looked absolutely terrifying. We saw footage of snipers. The snipers seemed to be indiscriminate in who they were targeting. The shelling seemed indiscriminate as well. Was that kind of stuff getting close to you?
It was. It was every day. You know, the city was being bombed and snipers. There's a bridge right in front of my house, which had a sniper that was operating on it. So it was happening everywhere. And the kind of the weird thing as a child, or as anyone, as a human, you learn your capacity to adapt. So in the beginning, it was every time I would hear the bombs, I would cry. I would be afraid. I was afraid. I was frightened. And those are not the noises that any child should ever hear. And then slowly you kind of learn to live with it, and you learn to recognize which type of a gun it is, or what kind of anti-aircraft artillery is being thrown at you, at your school, at your home, at your street, at the park where you used to play. So you slowly kind of just develop. You learn when it's far away, you learn when it's close to you, and you learn to live with it. But I pretty much didn't leave my house, because any day, any moment, any second you were out, you were a little bit less safe. Not that you were safe right inside the house either.
Were you aware of casualties? Were you aware of people losing their lives? Did people near you lose their lives?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody lost somebody. I mean, the park that I just mentioned, it was a park right in front of my house. And one sunny day, very early on in the war, there was no shooting. Sometimes those silences were, you know, worse than the times when there was shooting. So it was a quiet day, and a bunch of kids my age went into the park where they used to go on a spring day, and a shell fell, and a friend of mine that I went to kindergarten with and I played with, she was my neighbor, she was 11 years old, she was killed, and many others were wounded. I mean, death was a reality for all of us, and a possibility any second.
Were you aware of Ratko Mladenovic at this time? Did you know he is the man behind this? Did he have a face? Was it something?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You know, his face, and, you know, the face of Karadzic, those are the two faces of that siege, of that war, of, you know, the man responsible for that 11-year-old friend of mine dying, for so many others, cousins, friends, you know, so many people leaving, you know, being seriously wounded, losing their limbs. Those two faces were very present.
You're, I presume, wondering, why on earth is this man or these men trying to kill us? It must be very hard to your little mind to, at that point, work out why on earth life has become like this.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you do think that things like this happen to others, I think, purely as a defense mechanism, that it's, you know, it won't happen to you if you assign it as though it's something that belongs to others. But it is unimaginable. Why hold a city under siege? Why very deliberately, you know, shoot bread queues, or shoot at queues of people waiting to get some water because there was no water, you know, shoot anywhere at marketplaces where you could see people being gathered, because that's where you would get the most casualties. It was very deliberate, and deliberately killing the city and everything in it.
Right. You mentioned you were doing your homework, and it was keeping a diary really that helped get you and your family out of that situation.
That's right. Yeah, I started writing a diary when I was about 9 years old, just really noting very mindless things that I was hoping would just be memories of my happy childhood, you know, birthday parties and holiday trips. And as my life was changed, so did the things that I was noting in that diary. And It morphed into a war diary, which ended up being published and was a way for my parents and I to leave the siege. And obviously so many were not so lucky.
I presume you remember that moment when it was the UN came for you. Was it a UN truck?
That's right. Yeah, we drove through the perimeter of the city. I didn't even know at that time that there was a sort of a 10-minute window for us to drive through the siege, which we apparently had missed. And it was a very only later on did I find out that we, I guess, in a sense, just chanced it and ended up at the airport. And suddenly, you know, an hour later, you're in Paris, which is insane. You know, this was happening so close to all of us. Yet it felt like a different planet.
That is an amazing point to make, isn't it? That it really is happening so close. In literally an hour, you were in Paris in a different world. Did you have mixed feelings, or how did you feel? I mean, obviously, on one hand, you feel relief to get away from such a dangerous situation. On the other hand, you're leaving your entire life and your friends and relatives behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you feel guilt. Why me? You know, there were kids who were badly wounded. There were kids who were orphaned. And, you know, I only got a chance to leave because I kept a diary. That's a weird concept. And everybody stayed behind. My grandparents, you know, my aunts, uncles, cousins, our neighbors that suddenly became very important to us during this time, as we sort of shared, you know, food and supported each other, and everybody stayed behind. So, you know, and we went on the 23rd of December, you know, at a time when all the families are coming together. We just got ripped away from ours, and some of the people that we left behind, unfortunately, we never saw again.
Right. Have you ever been able to go back? Would you like to go back?
I do go back, yeah. I have been going back since ever since the peace agreement that stopped the war, since it's kind of worked. I've been going back, so I am regularly there every year.
Right. Now you're working as a filmmaker here. Is that how life has ended up for you?
Yes, it has. Yeah, I've worked. I mean, I continue to sort of do some work in the sort of human rights realm, and I've worked a lot with Amnesty International Ireland, and I work in documentary films, and I continue to write from time to time. So, yeah, that's the mix of various activities.
Thank God for that diary, is all we can say.
Yeah.
There'll be mixed feelings this, won't there? I presume one of the big things people will feel 20 years is too long.
Yeah, it took so long to find him. It took so long for this verdict. I mean, the question is, you know, what's the alternative that none of this that happened today had happened? It is unsatisfying, but it's important and it's symbolic, and it'll be noted down in history when, you know, in 200 years, someone's studying that this conflict that happened in southeastern Europe. You know, these are the points that are important. But, you know, of course, you think about the fact that this, in practical terms, means nothing to those who have lost
of course,
everything.
Of course. Well, Zata, thanks very much for joining us today and shining a light on that. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.